Thank you for joining me for another Quick Hits Conversation. I'm Dr. Robin. With me today, I have Pascal Derrien, Michael Davis, and Charlie Janes. The question I would like to ask, what is the difference between being responsive and being innovative? Michael, can you kick us off, please?
Absolutely. Thank you, Robin. To me, the difference is one is reactive and the other is proactive. That's on a surface level. The innovative companies and organizations that are out there, it's part of their culture. They don't just make it a happy hour, innovative hour for the week. It's part of something every day they encourage their people to do.
Yeah, I quite like that one, actually. I'm not going to talk about responsive. I'd like to talk about innovation. I think for me, there's two folds around innovation. There's really R&D, the long-term stuff. So things you think about, you have an idea, you need to nurture it, you need to develop it. It's going to take time. And the other aspect for me is adaptability. When you just have to react very quickly to your ecosystem circumstances, especially at the moment, we have a lot of examples of that at the moment from an economic standpoint. So that's how I think about it. You know, I probably have some ideas around responsive, but the innovation was really those twofold for me.
I'm really interested in applying those concepts to the business life cycle of learning their market and their products. And then they go into growth phases and then they go into decline phases. It's very predictable. So you see a lot more innovation in the learning phase as you're inventing new products, new concepts, new ways of doing things. But when you really want to grow, you continue to innovate, but then responsiveness becomes more of your mandate. You have to keep your customers happy. Now, the trick there, though, is that sometimes your customers ask you to do things that are bad for them. Henry Ford said, if I asked people what they wanted, they'd ask for a faster horse. That's why it's important to continue to innovate. But certainly a business in decline, it's mostly at that point responding to what's left.
Yeah, and when I was thinking about this, I think, Michael, to your point, is that I felt like responsive is giving the market something they've asked for. Innovative is giving the market something they don't know they want, but they, when they get it, they're like, oh my God, this is amazing. But I feel like you have to have both. And how do you determine which you do? Because I feel like if you're trying to be innovative, there's a lot of risk there.
Yeah, I think it really depends at what stage you are in your company. And it depends the size of the company as well. It depends of, you know, can you afford to develop and nurture a project? And it depends on what industry segment you are working on. I guess if you're an SME, an SME in Europe is actually way smaller than in the US. So a very small company, a small business owner, I suppose. I think, you know, you have some very, very different challenges as well. And I think responsiveness is an integrated part of it. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you don't have time to innovate, and that's probably the problem. I'm thinking straight away about Apple. I didn't know any either a phone who could do music. Now I need one. So that's the type of things, but it required a lot of R&D, but not everybody is Apple.
That's a really good point. And I know that the Apple example is often used, but there's a reason, because there are so few companies that thought like, or think like Jobs did, or an Elon Musk. And Pascal and Charlie both brought up excellent points as far as the life cycle. Think about what we just went through. So many companies were in survival mode, but to me, it comes back to that culture. If you have a culture where you're constantly innovating, it's somewhere in your thought process. We don't have to stop everything we're doing and now become innovative. It's just there. It also enables you to pivot, to Pascal's point. Sometimes you have to be responsive. It can't be one or the other, but having the innovative mindset allows you to have responses that are more creative to your customers. So you've both brought up some excellent points about that.
There was one thing, and I say, where, you know, it does bring me to culture and growth mindset as well in the company. You know, some companies have hackathon, which is mandate, which I'm not a big fan of, happens a lot in corporate. I quite like the everyday growth mindset when you empower people to go and try stuff. So, you know, and that's where innovation comes from. I know I'm running a charity, which is different, but my team, you know, everybody is actually a business owner. They own the channel and they are fully mandated to try and fail. But we need to try stuff differently.
That's the point.
And provide some directional support. But you know, that charity, but could be anything else. So we have the luxury that we can try things, but it depends on the constraint of your environment. But I think it's cultural. You know, if you let people go and figure it out what the best ways to do things, I think they will come up with great solutions.
I am agreeing with you that it's cultural and it's structural. The culture, the values is usually the first thing we try to help business owners understand what kind of values they want. Right now, the biggest challenges businesses are having is getting employees who are both proactive and innovative. A lot of people are just phoning it in. Mm. One of the biggest tasks we have is how to find some degree of alignment throughout an organization between its strategy or its values with what the customers need, the employees need, and with the projects that they're pursuing.
I was talking to somebody yesterday who made the comment that if there's no risk, there's no need for trust. And when it comes to being innovative, there's a lot of risk. There's a lot of, you're going to try this and it might fail. And I feel like culturally, organizations don't trust their employees enough to fail, to have to take that risk. They say they do. They say they want innovation. But when it actually happens and it falls flat, that's punished.
Yeah, absolutely. Because responsiveness is often considered as transactional. And that's the problem. I think when you start to think strategically about tactical activities and you empower people to do so, now you're starting to, you get working. There's quite a lot of things happening normally. So the creative juice is open and normally things happen. Not everything is good, but at least you get an intent. And when there's intent, there's generally success.
Yeah, I love that. It makes me think about Google, and I may be wrong on the numbers, but the last time I heard, Google asks their employees to spend 20% of their time on projects, not that they're working on. Go be creative, come up with something new. And I guess a lot of their best-selling tools they've created over the years came out of those sessions. But again, to what Pascal said, it's got to be part of that DNA. If you can't just slap a Band-Aid on it and say, all right, we're going to have Innovation Week.
I'm thinking back on the comments you've all just made in terms of the phase that businesses are in. A really early stage business needs to have its initial employees who are all super proactive, you know, who are innovating every day. And the founder or the funders have to trust those people to quickly work through their responsibilities and get things done. But as a business scales, like, so we're using examples of Google or it could be companies like Salesforce, then the degree of freedom that most employees have starts getting diminished because you're building in repeated patterns based on analytics and based on systems so that you're providing a consistent service. So it's kind of interesting how companies, systems, and cultures evolve.
And that's the difference between having a rock star who's really good at doing the job and a superstar who's really good at kind of twisting it and finding the new things.
Yeah. And sometimes it doesn't come from the company. Sometimes the market does force you to become innovative. So I'm thinking a lot of accessibility because that's the area. I mean, the market asks for more accessibility, whether it's actually for visually impaired, chronic conditions, you know, via technology. The market is demanding and it actually forcing some companies to actually to come up with solutions. So that's the responsiveness as well. As a company, you see there's a demand on the market, you know, because the market is asking for it and you have to respond. So inaccessibility is a big boom at the moment. There's a revolution the last 2-3 years and for the next 5 years. So, but I would love to see that being applied to other industry segments.
So that sounds like a responsiveness that requires innovation. Like the thing is needed and it's not there. And so you have to respond to the need, but you have to be innovative to create it. So now we've just put the two things together.
Yeah. I wonder if a lot of these cultures, because they're so fast paced, kill innovation from brilliant introverts because we don't give them time to talk. We hear the extroverts and they got a lot of ideas, but maybe we don't know what they are. But we're not providing an atmosphere to let the less effusive people have a say.
I see the same thing when I see people for whom English is a second language. They're having to translate the conversation out and back into their native language. And by the time that their idea, it gets formed enough for them to say it in English, the conversation's moved on and you lose it. So absolutely, that's a thing when it comes to innovation and even responsiveness. We're losing good ideas. It's the responsibility of a facilitator to make sure that there is space for all of people, everyone regardless of how their brain functions, to share ideas. So that is our 10 minutes. I'm going to cut us off there. Thank you so much for having this conversation with me. And I look forward to speaking to each of you again very soon.